This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. This episode, part one of two, was recorded live at Swing Set Takes Desire, a seven-day, adults-only, all-inclusive, sex-positive, body-positive, queer-inclusive, kink-friendly vacation that took place at Desire Resort in Maya Riviera, Cancun, Mexico. I've talked a lot about this event on the show, so why don't we get right to it? Take a listen.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. We are here on a Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
It's actually the day after the elections. Although we didn't get everything we wanted, we did flip the house.
Yes.
So we accomplished that.
The first Muslim woman in Congress.
First Native American lesbian governor.
Yeah.
So there's a tide changing, which is really good. We can eventually replace every single white man with someone else.
Hear, hear!
We can eventually do it, okay? It might take a few years, but we can do it. So I'm here at the Swing Set Takes Desire at Desire Resort in Cancun. I talked this up for a year, and now you guys are going to get to hear what it's like to actually be here. Let me tell you about my experience so far.
Yeah.
Well, so it's my second year, and I feel like it is a different thing walking in when you kind of know people, right? You feel like, oh, I know you. And I know people in the biblical sense. I know people. I have friends. But then also you recognize, right? Even the people whose names you've sort of forgotten, you're like, oh, right. Okay, that's the cute couple. That with the pink hair. Oh, right. So you recognize people. So it feels kind of... It feels a little bit more home than first coming in and not knowing anyone. But then there's this amazing balance of kind of the new and the old, because of course there's always going to be new faces, right? Mm-hmm. Hot new faces.
Very.
Yeah. And just like unexpected folks that you didn't know were going to be there are suddenly here in your life. And it's amazing. The weather has been too hot for me, so if someone could get a memo to the weather, I would like it to cool down more at night.
I think that actually ties into our discussion about flipping the house and everything.
Yes.
Because that's an important part of that whole weather fixing thing.
Weather fixing thing. Science.
Yeah, hashtag science.
Hashtag science. I've talked about how kind of special this group is, and I talk all the time, and so I really want to give people the opportunity to talk, and I have, like, a bunch of questions for you, and you seem not shy. I only see, like, a couple introvert tattoos and a couple introvert beads, because we have these beads on our name necklaces where you can identify as introvert, extrovert, kinky, kink curious, bi, gay, straight. New. There's not an old bead.
No. If you're not wearing the, it's like you're, you know, if you're not wearing the new bead, then you're old.
Okay. But, I mean, great.
Experienced.
You're OG.
OG.
I'm wondering if there are any people here for the very first time who want to talk about like what it was like to just come right into this group and like what was a surprise maybe that you didn't expect. So, yeah, I like this. I like this.
You don't have to lean in.
You didn't see, but he crawled to the mic.
I will crawl to follow you anywhere.
Oh.
Here, here.
There's going to be a parade.
Oh, there's going to be a parade later, crawling?
Yes, lovely. You're going to be walking at the front. And
everyone's just crawling. Yeah. Great.
It's a submissive parade.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's like Make Way for Ducklings, but with submissive.
It's a submissive and rider parade.
I'm okay with that. But as I understand, he's going to be at the back, right, mistress? He doesn't talk from the bottom.
No, he does not.
We'll talk about that. Okay, so you're brand new. You're like, what?
First time to Desire, first time to Swing Set, of course. And somebody asked me, that nice young lady who's sitting right over there, on night two, what's the one thing that surprised you? Just like you said, what's one thing that surprised you? And for me, this is the only time that I am already getting emotional. I apologize. This is the only time that I've ever been in a location where I feel like I can be 100% myself. That I don't have to put up flags or shields. I don't have to put up barriers. That I can be comfortable walking around as me, Bradford. And that there's no judgment. There's no negativity. There's nothing. And it's so fucking freeing. May I say fucking?
Yes.
It's so fucking freeing. And I think I needed this and didn't realize that I did.
I mean, that's why it's such a special place, is because when we walk in the world, there are all kinds of parts of us which we have to put away, right? Yeah. Which we can't show people for various reasons. And many of those reasons are valid, just because we don't live in a world that accepts difference. I don't even think we live in a world where authenticity is valued.
No.
Right? I think people would rather everyone had kind of their spacesuits on and we all just bumped into each other and, you know, and acted accordingly. Yeah, I feel the same thing. Yesterday I had a really horrible pain day, which, you know, I've been in a lot of pain. And so that's, and it can be, there are things I can do to aggravate it and things I can do to make it better. And then sometimes it just comes like without warning. And I felt like for the first time when people asked me how I was, I actually could tell them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have this like public persona and I can put a smile on my face as easy as anyone else. Right. And so I could have said to every single person who asked me how I was yesterday, I'm great. How are you? It's really that simple. Right. But I wasn't great. I wasn't great. It was a really hard day for me and I had a lot to do and I didn't want to let anyone down. And so I feel like this is one part of me that I haven't been super out about. You know, everyone's like all the closets, right? There's like all the closets. Yeah. And it's like, I'm out about so many things about my life, but I haven't shared my health issues and my struggle with pain. Because I feel like if you go on my Instagram, like you want to see my dog or you want to see like pictures of asses, right? Like sexy pictures. And the truth is like, that's not, you know, that's like my cute, like curated life, but not my real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there other people who feel like there's parts of themselves that can only be here in this space and not in the real world? There's your mic right there.
Right.
I have Dylan to thank for this setup shit. Like he just said, and then he just walked away. Okay.
So in my group of friends, we're all, for the most part, kinky friends one way or another. But I am by far the most outrageous of all of them. So even though I'm almost completely out of that, almost everything, I still feel like I have to rein it in. Mm-hmm. A good deal. You know, I can't talk about sex all the time. I can't talk about, I want kinky sex all the time. My partner's all the time. You know, I have to, I don't know, I guess, care more about their mundane vanilla bits, because those are the bigger bits of their life. And mine, I have very little, very, very little vanilla mundane in my life.
Right.
So here, I don't have to have any of that. My number one goal coming here was I want to be naked all the time. As much as I possibly can.
Yes.
Because I hate wearing clothing. I hate being restricted. But I'm not just naked physically. I'm just naked emotionally and completely wide open. And I love it. But I've just realized this morning, it's going to be really hard to come back from that.
That's totally real. That's totally real.
Desire drop is a very real experience.
And I knew it was going to be, but it's just hitting me exactly how hard it's going to be, especially since when I go back in the real world and between houses, and my husband and I are sleeping on a cot in my best friend's room where her 11-year-old son is living, and also now her 25-year-old daughter, boyfriend, and their three children, and two dogs, and two cats, three cats, because my dad is there.
Oh,
not to mention my best friend,
yeah.
her husband.
Yeah, okay.
So I sent a message to my husband. I'm like, can we get a hotel Saturday night? Because I can't go back to peopling that much just yet. I said, I just want to be with you in a quiet place for a little while.
Yeah.
So thank everybody for that is there's nothing to describe that feeling.
Well, I played with you last night in the dungeon,
and then there's Tristan's eyes.
No. And I did feel like, you know, it's easier for some people to tap into that like vulnerable place quicker, right? They can drop into it more comfortably, you know? And so I felt like you dropped into it. That's probably also because you're really experienced in kink, but you dropped into it quite quickly. And there was a sense of, I did feel a sense of nakedness. It's funny because I asked you, like, how do you feel about being naked? And she just ripped your dress off. And in fact, you left your dress behind.
I'll get it. Maybe
if
that's the sacrifice I have to
make. I'm never going to need these pants.
And it was a butterfly dress.
It was a beautiful, beautiful dress.
It was almost like I was in, there's my real world cocoon. I come here and I'm a butterfly, and then I evolve beyond
the butterfly.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, Beyond the Butterfly.
That's
a good book title. It's a good podcast title.
You should register that domain.
Okay, we're registering that domain now. Someone get right on that with a good wireless right here. Any other new people who want to talk about what it was like to show up and be dropped in the middle of an entirely different world? You're right there. Good.
So it's funny because we're not new to desire, but we're new to Live on the Swings that takes desire.
Okay.
And it's so much more open with this group of people. I mean, there's always a level of openness because you're pretty well all naked all the time, and it's awkward if you're just standing around and not talking to each other, just staring. So conversation happens a lot easier here than they would at a regular vanilla resort. But the depth and speed of connection with this group has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
I agree. That's all I have to add right now.
What about old-timers? Angelica doesn't like that phrase. What about veterans? Is it different this year? Yeah, up there or over here?
I'm the first person to walk.
Okay, great.
I just want to note, I am always inspired by having people in this community give me that kind of energy in a way that I can take home with me. So I very much respect the differences in real life as we talk about, but I also want to hold on to that energy and that ability to connect with people and bring that home in different ways, but in very genuine ways, and to start to remove some of those barriers that we erect to separate ourselves from others.
Yeah.
So that is one of the reasons I keep coming back, however many times it's been now. Ginger, how many times has it been?
A lot.
You'll have to ask a front office.
We met a couple that had forgotten.
I really appreciate that. Hey, we're going to take a commercial break. I don't know why I also did the hands.
Everyone was doing hands. You know, you gotta just do the hands.
Just
I have no idea what was happening. I'm like,
break time.
We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, more from The Swing Set Takes Desire.
Hey, why keep your crush on the hush? The Pleasure Chest has everything you need to heat up your Valentine's Day. Check out their sexy selection of pleasure products and couples toys to please your partner, surprise your crush, or treat yourself to a little more self-love. Enjoy free shipping through Valentine's Day and get a free Volita vibrator with any in-store or online Fun Factory purchase over $129 through February 15th. Need a little pleasure refresher or a fun date night? Drop by their LA, New York, or Chicago locations for a free workshop on how to achieve the ultimate orgasm, improve your oral skills, give a better blowjob. If you can't make it in, this is something really cool. From February 7th to the 13th, they are going to be doing live 30-minute workshops at Pleasure Chest Store's Instagram stories. So every day this is going to happen at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to do tips, tricks, toys, a live Q&A from their sex specialists. It's actually a really cool way, if you're not in one of the cities where they are, to take a class. And as always, when you go to pleasurechest.com to shop, use the code Tristan and get a free massage candle with your purchase.
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are in front of a live studio cabana audience at Swing Set Takes Desire in Cancun, Mexico. So before the break, I asked veterans to talk about what might be different this year, because I think veterans do have a different perspective, right? They've seen it change. They've seen it evolve. They see it year to year.
So this is my second year. Last year was my first year, and I was here with a partner. And it was spoken earlier about the connections that you can make here are so instantaneous and intense. And very soon after the trip last year, my partner decided he did not want to be my partner anymore. And it was very obviously exceedingly difficult. The people I met last year, the people I made connections with, traveled across the country to see me. They called me. They texted me. They sent me packages. Pulled me out of the dark place. I, of course, wondered, how am I going to come back? Because this is a couples resort, but I have to come back and see these people. And even though I just met them, I just spent a week with these people, these are the people who saved me. And when I reached out to them, they made an effort to make sure that I would be back. They connected me with amazing, amazing people. I can never not come back, because this is home. You are the people who saved my soul this year. So, as a veteran, air quotes, it is my second year here, but it feels like I'm living it again for the first time as
someone new.
So, thank you to all of you for making this place, because it saved this year. Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's been a hard year for a lot of us. I don't want to speak for all of you, but I'm just, it's been a hard year for a lot of people. And a lot of people I love.
And disproportionately strangely difficult year for a lot of people here with us.
Grief and loss and pain, emotional pain, physical pain, all set against this backdrop of the dumpster fire. At least some of us, call home. There's like Canadians here, and they're being nice about it. They're not rubbing it in our faces, but they could. They could. And so set against this backdrop, this also creates tremendous anxiety. That's real. Yeah. That's real anxiety. It's nice to kind of be both, right? It's nice to have the escape from our lives where we feel like, okay, we can just sort of let it all go. But it's nice to also know that people are aware that, you know, I'm like sort of acutely aware when I'm here that this is super magical and that I wish this were my life all the time. Not just because someone else cooks for me, but that's very, very high on the list.
That is,
like super high on the list. That spinach omelet is everything to me. And if I don't have it, I like can't start my fucking day. I just feel like I'm always kind of like one part of my brain is always like, wow, why can't it be more like this? Like, I guess this gets back to what Prof said. How do we cultivate the qualities here that are so important to us when we go home? And that's a question that someone could join. Like, how do we cultivate?
Can I speak to the other part of what you said?
Yeah.
The why can't we be this always? Damien and I, we have this conversation every year, I think. The discussion of home, the discussion of why can't we just have a commune somewhere where we're all together all the time. And I know when I was writing my book about this place, let's be honest, it was, I recognized that the brevity, the abbreviation is part of the magic of it. And if it didn't end, if it wasn't finite, we wouldn't feel as much permission to be who we are here. And then when what we take home from here is the best of what's here, the openness to love, the openness to communication and really engaging with people in a way maybe we didn't before here, I think. That's always what I take out is I want to make new connections and be closer again with people. I want to be in love with many people, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to
This is Ginger from Life on the Podcast. Just want to, like, you know, boldface name, like we're on page six. No, you know, like, yeah, let me tell you who's in the crowd.
Thank you. So I'm a switch, so I'm not on my knees, but I'm crouching.
Totally fine. And also, you can crouch. How lucky for you.
Yes,
look at those quads. Look at those quads.
Yeah, it's a lucky thing. What I would say to that theme is I am echoing what Prof shared is, it is brief and it is magical because I think we're meant, and when I say we, I mean all of us, we are meant to go back and do this work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are meant to go back and do this work there. That's it.
Absolutely.
To go forth and spread the good word, as someone once said.
Yes.
I can't actually crawl.
Okay.
Moment,
you want to sit?
Okay. So this is Ophelia. And to connect with what Prof and Jin had said, burnout is a real thing in a lot of professions. Burnout is also a real thing in activism. And I feel like we need this place to go back and be more vigilant. Because if we didn't, we would burn out. We would just lose that fuel that fired us. And this is where we kind of take our break. Like, these are the trenches. This is where we get to rest at night and then go back.
Sing songs of the war.
Yeah. So I also want to call to the mic the co-hosts of By the By podcast.
Ooh.
Someone can come sit on the couch.
The sexy
You're crawling.
Co-host.
You couch.
Yeah.
Hey, so I want you to introduce yourselves. and tell us about the By the By podcast. Because I think the other thing is that, you know, I'd love to recommend podcasts. And essentially, like, we do have all these crossover audiences, right? I always say things like, if you like my podcast, you'll like this podcast. So I have a feeling my people who don't yet know about you will like your podcast. Tell me about it. Tell me about its origins. Tell me about you guys.
Go ahead. So I'm Bradford.
I'm Angela.
And we created By the By podcast about 2.5 years ago. And so the thing was, I was very much struggling as an out bisexual male to find my people and to find these beacons of hope and beacons of light that made me feel like I wasn't alone. And one of those people happened to be Cooper. And it was one of those, it's our world, all of our world, I think, are kind of a fog. We go back to the real world and we live in this fog where we feel like we're sort of drifting around. And our goal was to kind of try to create a beacon of light for especially anybody who is different, especially bisexual males. Because, I mean, it's very difficult in today's political climate, in today's social climate, in the way the world is set up, that everybody thinks there's something wrong with us. And our point was to make sure that everybody knows that there's not anything fucking wrong with you. That you are perfect just the way you were made, whether you believe in God or whether you believe in whatever you believe in, that you're the way you're meant to be and to live your best life. That was our goal.
Yeah, and also when Bradford was coming out, he went through a struggle of trying to feeling like he was alone, and not knowing that this was okay, that this was normal, and that there's something more out there. There's other people out there like me.
Yeah,
and so just putting it out there to people and as a resource, you know, if you're looking for help, if you're looking to know that I'm not the only one in the world like this. Because some people are very isolated where they are. And, mm-hmm. and so it was just kind of one of those, let's put it out there and just kind of, so somebody knows that there's others out there. You're not the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about bi men.
Let's. Absolutely.
because I think one of the marked differences, like, it's hard to explain this all to people who aren't here, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the marked differences is that in traditional swinger communities, and I would also argue in some poly communities, in some BDSM communities, in some sex positive groups, bisexual men are either not invited, go unacknowledged, are told to kind of keep that piece private,
dial it back,
dial it down, dial it back, or don't dial it at all. And one of the things about Swings That Takes Desire is not only are there bi men here and bi curious men, you actually had to like fight to get some sort of rider in your agreement with Desire that like men can be on men.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, this is significant.
It is.
Because not only did you get them all to show up, you also said, I'm going to make this space 100% safe.
Right.
It's going to be the policy that when we're here, we're all here and we can do this and no one's going to be like, wait. For the last 15 weeks, we have not seen like a man and a man. And now we're seeing a man and a man, that's freaking us out. We don't want that to happen, right? And so the stigma is real.
Yeah.
The stigma is absolutely real for bi guys.
And it only took once in our first year here where a friend of mine and I, who were enjoying ourselves at the hot tub, were called fags because we were playing guy on guy. And it only took once, and it's like, okay, clearly what we need is we need to take over more and more of this resort so people like her either can't come or feel bad about herself for saying that.
Yeah. Right. Cheers to that, for sure.
And then what I've done is I write the description of the trip in such a way that anyone who would do that probably looks at that description and thinks, this is not for me.
I try to
have people self-select out.
Well, yeah.
Because I also don't want to make people actively feel bad.
No.
I just don't want them here.
No, it's the difference between like excluding people and saying these people are not welcome, and just saying these are the people who we are inviting in.
Yes.
And people will go, I don't think that's me.
Yeah.
You know? And so, when are we going to see some more bi guy action, like at the bi extravaganza?
So yeah. I would like to go ahead and make this a blanket offer.
Great, great.
I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't typically like blanket consent, but I'm going to give blanket consent to any bi male. If you want to kiss me at any moment, just grab me by the shoulders and fucking hey, we'll make out. anywhere, wow. For the rest of the trip. And then if you see me out in the store.
Okay, so...
on that note.
Sir, I thought you were raising your hand.
No, I was actually going to take him up on the offer.
May I?
You were!
Yes, bring it.
May I?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to take a commercial break and watch these hot guys make out with each other. Sorry you're not here.
That was awesome.
My pants came off.
I saw this.
Kissed your pants off.
Kissed your pants off. Know about the tried and true Clone a Willy to make a silicone replica of any penis. In fact, a while back, we had actual listeners try it out and their reviews were stellar. Well, now there's something brand new. The Clone a Pussy Plus Sleeve Kit. First of its kind, Clone a Pussy Plus allows anyone to cast an exact replica of a vulva in silicone and attach it to the included silicone masturbation sleeve. This is a truly one-of-a-kind toy and perfect for long-distance relationships. The creation process itself can be really fun, and the results make a great gift for any occasion. Clone a Willy is a woman-run company, and their products are sourced in the U.S. and hand-assembled in Portland, Oregon. And you know I've got a deal for you. Use the promo code Tristan for 20% off your entire order on cloneawilly.com. Hey, why don't you clone it and bone it?
Hey, why keep your crush on the hush?
The Pleasure Chest has everything you need to heat up your Valentine's Day. Check out their sexy selection of pleasure products and couples toys to please your partner, surprise your crush, or treat yourself to a little more self-love. Enjoy free shipping through Valentine's Day and get a free Volita vibrator with any in-store or online Fun Factory purchase over $129 through February 15th. Need a little pleasure refresher or a fun date night? Drop by their LA, New York, or Chicago locations for a free workshop on how to achieve the ultimate orgasm, improve your oral skills, give a better blowjob. If you can't make it in, this is something really cool. From February 7th to the 13th, they are going to be doing live 30-minute workshops at Pleasure Chest Store's Instagram stories. So every day this is going to happen at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to do tips, tricks, toys, a live Q&A from their sex specialists. It's actually a really cool way, if you're not in one of the cities where they are, to take a class. And as always, when you go to pleasurechest.com to shop, use the code Tristan and get a free massage candle with your purchase.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
We're back at Desire.
You sound a little flustered, Tristan.
Desire Takes Swing. No, we're back at Swing Set Takes Desire. Sorry. And we're in Cancun, Mexico at Desire Resort. We had a little funny business at the break, so I'm a little bit flustered. But clap anyway, okay? Just clap. Do any other bi or bi curious guys want to talk about their experiences coming out as bisexual, their experiences of any discrimination, their experiences here? Any other bi guys want to buy it up?
I will certainly speak to
you. Well, let's do it.
This has been the journey of safe space. You know, most of the bi guys I know are bi curious ish and are like, it's like bi light, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
But I find that I think it's because of the fear of being openly bi, people actively repress the idea of going full bi, you know,
full bi
all the way.
Yeah.
And so this year we've been determined to have some kind of bi orgy every year. But this year, I put a specific chat room and said, okay, who's a bi guy? I'm putting you in this chat room. We're figuring this shit out. And I think, I never want to have expectations, but I think it's going to happen tomorrow night, a full bi orgy. And it's so wonderful to be able to be in a group of people having sex and not be like, oh, I'm sorry, I touched your leg. Don't get upset and suddenly, call me a queer or be derogatory and weird suddenly. Because
right.
I've lived that as a long time traditional swinger. And there's just something so freeing about knowing that nobody in this group, at least, is going to stigmatize or judge us. Nobody in this group is going to look at us weird. And so, like, night one, I was making out in the hot tub with a very sexy man who may be here, right here, right around the microphone, in fact.
he's a good kisser.
Had an opportunity.
He's also blushing a little bit.
No, not me. He's a good kisser.
But you're the one blushing. I've got a question for you, which is, okay, so say people are out there listening and they have, and their partner is a guy and they, and who was heterosexual, right? Mm-hmm. And then is now sort of coming to terms with their bi-ness. How can a partner support that?
Oh.
So I think for a lot of people, having that first conversation and opening the gate is very difficult. And so I think the main thing is letting them know that it's safe, that they can do that. You're not going to judge them, and maybe just take baby steps. And it's not going to be, you're not going to go to an all-out bi orgy first thing.
Right, right.
But just let them know that they can talk about it with you, then talk about the feelings, and just listen. Don't say anything, don't judge, but just listen to what they have to say, and then figure out what that means for your relationship. And that will take time. And it'll take probably a lot and lot of discussion between the two of you, but just to see how does that look for your relationship? Because is your bi-ness something that you're simply attracted to people of the same sex? Or is it that you want to have a relationship with someone of the same sex, physical relationship, or do you want to have an emotional relationship with someone of the same sex? So there's different ways that it can look. And yeah. It can be all intertwined. But then what is it that your partner is looking for in their quote-unquote bi-ness, and what does that mean for your relationship as a couple, and how can you incorporate that so that you're both happy and get what you need? And it's a very long road. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, and I think that's the other thing, is just to be patient and to work through it together, but don't put up walls. No matter what, keep those lines of communication open, because that's what will ultimately strengthen your relationship as a couple and make the journey a lot more enjoyable and ultimately a lot more fulfilling for you.
Yeah.
I think it's important, something I see a lot with people who are in open relationships or just people coming to me for advice or coaching is change is not a betrayal. We actually are all changing all the time right now. And the idea that we're not is a false one, right? The idea that we started out and we're going to be those same people. You know, there's a lot, there's tons of emphasis in the queer community on trans folks coming out and like, yeah. What a big transition it is in the relationship, right? It is, but also everyone's having transitions.
Yeah.
Not around their gender maybe, but everyone's having transitions. However, when it happens, often the first reaction people have is betrayal.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I know you.
Or what's wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
What did I do? Like, how am I implicated in this now, right? People often think that when their partner changes their sexual orientation. It's like, what does that mean about my sexuality? And so it feels, I think, instinctually like a betrayal, but you have to remember it's not. It's actually just change. It's actually change. And people say they like change, but then like when change comes along, we resist it.
Right.
We resist it to varying degrees, right? So I think I think we respond from fear all the time, right? Fear is kind of like one of those main emotions that we automatically kind of comes up that we always have to be, checking in about.
Can I
please
speak to the
chains? Speak. Yeah, which, yeah,
okay. Yeah. Right. you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The change thing is a major idea on my mind and has been since the beginning of non-monogamy, because I felt like when I was in my last marriage and we were monogamous and we had the house and we had the dog and we were all there, we finished.
Oh, got there, yeah.
And I had this idea that I guess this is who I am now and I guess this is who I always will be. And it was fine. But once I opened up and realized that I knew such a teensy fragment of the world, even though I read a lot and thought I knew a lot, but like this lifestyle and recognizing that I'm not finished and recognizing that I'm always changing is what has made me a far more empathetic and supportive ally for people that are not me, not, you know, as an ostensibly, a visibly hetero...
Appearing.
That's good. Cis, white, man, middle class man. I know. I've been through that change of, okay, I feel this way about the world, and maybe it's not that progressive, but this is the way I feel. And the change, the willingness to change, the willingness to evolve has been so incredibly rewarding, not just for me, but for my relationships with other people. And I've been able to cultivate relationships with other people because I recognize that at any moment, any of us can change dramatically or in these tiny ways. And that's okay. And all we have to do, and this is from you, is look at how we've evolved and then decide what the compatibility still looks like. And that is such an amazing point there, because we all should be evolving every day. If we're not, clearly we're not learning about anything other than ourselves and our small sphere. And so that it's so important to me, and I feel so strongly that non-monogamy is what made me a better person and made me a more empathetic person and made me a better ally, because without it, I'm just that white guy in the suburbs with a house and a wife and a dog, probably pretty mediocre, you know, marriage and all that. And that's it. That's who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I offer something?
Oh, okay. Yes, and then answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
that's okay.
Sorry. Just that. Yeah. That last piece of what often you find is just acknowledging that change, that it's not an option. There is change constant. Change is constant. And so it's how we cope with it, deal with it, how we make it our bitch. I mean, we play with it in that way. But what I find is a lot of that resistance from the world, as we had shared before, is we're doing what they want to be doing. Maybe not the way they want to be doing, but it's really just, it's metabolizing change in a different way that they admire, they want. And they say, oh, I really want that. I want to be brave that way. So what the manifestation for folks is I want that. So I'm going to treat you. I'm going to project my own frustration with myself onto you.
Right.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Angela.
So where I was going to go with it on the whole change thing is that we are constantly changing, and a lot of people find change in yourself and in the world. They find change as a very scary thing, and it can be frustrating. It can be, you know, it's something that you fear and that you put up this wall to try and prevent that.
Yeah.
But you can't. And I think ultimately you have to just embrace it and go with it and look at it like a roller coaster ride. Your entire life is change. So just go with it, ride it, see where it takes you, enjoy the ride. If the ride ends at some point, get off, get on another one, and see where that takes you. But you cannot avoid change. You have to embrace it and go with it and just see where it takes you and find a way to enjoy it and love it as you go through.
Can I just add one addendum onto that, which is, I'm going to quote Disney, because...
Why not?
I'm a Disney boy.
Okay.
At the end of Beauty and the Beast, one of the songs is sung by the mob. And the line is, we don't like what we don't understand. In fact, it scares us. And I think that all of us can go out there and educate people on who we are And the more people know about us, the less afraid they're going to be of us.
Yeah.
Because I think the muggles out there, that's what it is. They're afraid of us. Yeah. They're afraid of the freedom that we have and the comfort with change. And to be honest, I'm not completely comfortable with change. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes.
But I like that uncomfortableness. I thrive on that. Mm-hmm.
And I want to say one thing just in response to what you said, Cooper, which is I also think that everyone's got a different path. So if you're out there and you're monogamous, there is still change. There is still growth. The idea that in monogamy there isn't change and that it's somehow static, you're on a different path, right? You're just on a different path. So for you, the path was absolutely non-monogamy. This is what opened the floodgates. And for someone else, you'd be something else. Damien. I know everyone's name, by the way, because they're wearing name necklaces, not because I'm, like, real smart.
No, because you're magic.
I wanted to say that a couple of things. My partner and I have been together for over 30 years.
Over 30 years.
A good deal of that is dumb luck on compatibility at the get-go, right? But we haven't had a monolithic relationship for 30 years. We've had 7-10 relationships that have just managed to dovetail. And our exploration of non-monogamy, we've discussed, really we feel that has granted us, and it's done so because I think that uncertainty is youth. Non-monogamy swinging led us to the sex-positive community, which led us to the social justice community, which led us to question preconceived notions about where our place in the world was and made us uncertain about things that we held for granted and left us with those questions and that feeling of unsureness. I'm no longer sure of where I fit. What does this mean? Why am I feeling uncomfortable about this? Why? That's on me. But I think that is what youth is all about. That feeling of youth is that feeling of I don't have a grasp on the world. Like, the world is different than I thought it was, and I've got lessons to learn. Final thing, I go to therapy all year. I do lots of work. This week often feels... Sorry.
You know, this is my specialty, getting people to cry, right? I just love the tissue paper just being thrown I get porn stars to cry. I've done it. I have evidence.
This week for me often feels like the crucible where all that work comes to a head.
Yeah.
Where the epiphanies that occur here are as a result of the unreality of this environment. But it back to that naked thing, right? To be stripped bare of all your vanilla concerns and left with just yourself.
Yes.
So that all that work I've done during the year pays dividends in the realizations that I have gained here. Thank you.
Thanks for that. I think that resonates with a lot of people. A lot of people in this circle and a lot of people at home.
I hope you're enjoying this live show recorded at Swing Set Takes Desire back in November. There's actually more to come. Next week, you'll hear the second part of the show. You can be a part of the studio audience on their next adventure by registering for Swing Set Takes Desire. It's happening November 2nd to the 9th, 2019. Go to swingsetdesire.com. You can also follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Swing Set Desire. You're going to meet so many cool, amazing folks like I did at this event, including Emma and Finn, who I finally got to meet in person. They're from one of my great sponsors, the podcast Normalizing Non-Monogamy, and you can check that out at normalizingnonmonogamy.com. And if you want to listen to the By the By podcast, which we mentioned and we had Bradford and Angela on during that interview, go to bybythebybi.com.au. They're in Australia. They're Americans in Australia. So that's how you can listen to those two fabulous podcasts. And of course, you can listen to Life on the Swing Set, lifeonthewingset.com. I want to remind you that Pleasure Chest has free weekly pleasure ed classes in stores in LA, New York, and Chicago. You can go to pleasurechest.com to find out more about them. Coming up in Los Angeles, February 24th, Piercing Play. February 27th, Strap On, Get Off. March 1st, OMG Spot Mini Workshop. In New York City, February 27th is Impact Play. And in Chicago, February 27th is Bondage for Beginners. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and Dylan Thomas, who valiantly recorded, engineered, and edited this episode. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, please subscribe to this wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes. Leave us a review if you'd like. That helps people find the podcast. You can find me across all social media platforms at Tristan Taramino, and you can find the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Until next week, America and the world, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.